Today's daf in Masechet Ketuvot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Lamed Gimel. So remember that up until now, we've had this machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Ula, which started with the overall question of what happens in a case where we are stuck with Kedei Risha To. Kedei Risha Achat Ata Mechayvo, V'yata Mechayvo Mishum Shtei Risha Ayot. So what happens if a person is Chayv Malkus and Mamayin? So according to Ula, we say you always pay when that's possible. And according to Rabbi Yochanan, we say you always get Malkus when that's possible, and you don't pay. So in the context of that entire discussion, we needed to explain the cases of Chovel B'Chaveiro, that the Torah is saying that you pay, and the cases of Edim Zaymanim, with the Torah saying that you pay. And in that context, we brought up the question of paying instead of Malkus, if we learn it out from the Gezeira Shova, from Tachas Asher Ina, and the Tashlumim of Tachas that we find in the Torah, of the which is used in many places, Tachas Asher, Tachas Aser, and so on and so forth. So the question was, why was it that according to Rabbi Yochanan, he doesn't agree to the beautiful Gezeira Shava of Tachas Tachas of Ula? And we answered, because of the wonderful need that we had to be able to parse the Chiyuvim of Knas into the separate sections which have to do with their implications in terms of assault, their implications in terms of marriage, and their implications in terms of sexual abuse specifically, which is called inui. Therefore, according to Rabbi Yochanan, the Tachat Asher Ina comes to tell me that the din of Chamishim is purely for the sexual issue. So it's instead Tachat the Hana'at Shchiva. But that doesn't mean that there's no other things that you have to pay. And that's where we learned that the Knas is not a general thing. And we said that Ula, how does he have the tachas mufna to use for other things? He learned out that wonderful halacha from the words in the pasuk, v'natana ish ha-shochev ima lavianara, chamishim kasev. Obviously, we're talking about the guy who raped. Who else is going to be paying? The judges? So the point is that ha-shochev ima tells me that I'm paying for the fact that I did have these relations with her. So it's only the pleasure that I'm paying for, hana'at shchiva, but everything else is a separate payment. That's where we were up to, about a third of the way down. Okay, so we had a given that Edim Zomimim are chayev in Tashlumin, and they don't get Malkus. So we learned that out from Yad B'Yad, which means Dovar HaNitan Miyad L'Yad. There's another way to learn that out, says Rabbi Elazar. I'll tell you, it's very simple. Edim Zomimim, of course, are always going to be paying Mamay, and they're not going to be getting Malkus. You know why? There's no way to give them Hatra'ah. And since there's no way to give them Hatra'ah, how could we possibly give them Malkus? Omar Rava, yes, of course you cannot give them Hatra'ah. Now, it's not clear that what Rava says is really an insight in what Rabbi Elazar says. And we'll see that Rava's approach may be entirely wrong. But Rava says, I will prove to you that Edim Zomimim do not get Malkus and cannot get Hatra'ah, because it's a logistical impossibility. That's the problem. It's all a question of logistics. When exactly would you want to give them Hatra'ah? If you give them Hatra'ah as a matter of normal Besdin procedure, in other words, Edim walk in and they talk to the secretary who asks them for their names and their addresses and all of their information, and then says to them, you are aware of the fact that in the event that any testimony turns out to be a Edus Sheker because of Hazama, that you are going to be punished with whatever it is that you said you were going to do to the other guy, or you will be punished with Malkus in the event that we're yes, all right, sign here, thank you very much. And then they would sign. Okay, that's pretty normal way to give Hatra'ah. The only problem is, it won't be a kosher Hatra'ah. Why? Because Hatra'ah only works if it's immediately prior to the actual event that is going to be Gerim, the Chiyav. Because remember, the whole idea of Hatra'ah is to make certain that the person who is over is fully conscious at the time that he's doing it, of the implications of his avera and the possibility of his chiyuvim. So if you told it to them when they walk into Beis Din and they sign the forms and so on, so then they'll say, by the time they get around to, you know how long these things take, what a schlep. So Amri Yishtalyan, by the time they get around to giving their testimony in the middle of this case, they'll say, I forgot all about that. I wasn't thinking about it. So that's not a good atra. So you'll tell me, okay. So as they stand up in the witness stand, we'll tell them, be it known by these presences that in the event that you are turned out to be a bunch of liars, that you will be punished with maybe the Malkus because of the Lotan Ebereachai Chakar. What do you think the impact of that kind of behavior would be on the giving of testimony? The Edom say, you know what? That's what kind of people you take us for. Drop that. We'll go home. We're not doing anybody any favors. That we're going to risk our own lives? Forget about it. Bye. See you later, alligator. And that will make it almost impossible to get Edom. So we can't do it then. Parshivalom is harder. Shall we give them hatra'ah after they already gave their testimony? What's the point? They can't change their mind, can they? They can't say, hey, guys, you know, if you were lying, you could be in big trouble. Oy vey, I take it back. They can't say, oy vey, I take it back. Because kivan sheyigid, shuvenu chozeru magid. Makifah, but I understand what the problem is. Why can't we give them, the minute that they finish saying their testimony, we immediately say to them, listen here, boys, in the event that that testimony was a lie, you know, you're going to get malchus. And then they could say, since it's betoch kedei dibur, then they could say, never mind, we take it back. Because betoch kedei dibur, even though it's not betoch kedei dibur of their own testimony, but being as the Beis Din began discussing, as Tosis points out, immediately giving them the hatra'ah, it's all considered to be a continual within the betoch kedei dibur of their testimony. And Rav Acha Brei D'Ravika says, I have another problem to this. What you could do is you could have them sign the forms when they come in and give them the verbal hatra'ah. And then, b'shas ma'isa, when they're about to give the testimony, the secretary comes in and waves a finger at them as if to say, remember. So then they can't say, we forgot. But on the other hand, it was discreet enough not to make them insulted and say, well, if that's what you think about as we're walking out, so why could you do it that way? And in the end, Abaya says, you know, what I said was wrong. I thought that Rava's approach to what the meaning was of Rebbe Elazar was correct. So you can't give them Hasra. So I was sitting there attacking the logistics. That was stupid. He's wrong. The logistics have nothing to do with it. What Rebbe Elazar was saying was something much more profound. Actually, amazingly beautiful. What Rebbe Elazar was saying was that Edim Zomimim cannot get Hatra'ah because in giving them Hatra'ah, you make it impossible for them to be punished as Edim Zomimim. What? Yes, because remember that the Torah is a very special din for Edim Zomimim, namely, Kasher Zamam La'asot L'Reyehu. So what you have to do is you have to be vasitem lo, you have to do to him precisely what it is that he wanted to do to the other person. If we are going to be mechabed them, so to speak, in other words, respect their integrity by giving them hatra'ah, then we're not going to be able to be mechayim kasher zama. Because when they went ahead and they were mechayev the other guy and they claimed they had given him asra and he's chayev malchus, and they hadn't given him Asra, if we're only going to give them Malkus because they did get Hatra'ah, is that going to be Kasher Zaman? No. We're treating them better than they treated the other guy. And therefore, in order to be Mekayim, the mitzvah of Kasher Zaman itself, there's no way that we can give them Hatra'ah. That's the point the Rebbe Elazar was making. So therefore, La milti di amri, because isak dat chayim zomim tzrichim atra'ah. So what would be the din? Ki lo matrinat behu lo katlinan lehu. So then if we didn't give them atra'ah, then we wouldn't kill them. But mi kamita dinu boy kito below atra'ah, they wanted to kill a guy without giving him atra'ah. And they should need atra'ah? Didn't the Torah say, and you don't have that? We're giving him more cover than we give, and they give the guy the victim. So by that token, suppose in the case where they were coming to make someone a Ben Grusha, Ben Chalutza, over there we do not do Kasher Zaman, because there's no way to do Kasher Zaman. But what we do do instead is we're Mechayev them Malkus because of Lota Nebreacha, it's Shaker. So there, it's Lomi Kasher Zaman Kimitrabe. So why don't Adim Zomimim require Hatra'ah as a general rule for Malkus? Because the Malkus is not coming in such cases from the Kasher Zaman. Answers the Gemara, you are correct. But the Torah adds those cases into the same parsha of Edim Zomimim by saying, Mishpat Echad Yelachem. What's the point of adding Mishpat Echad Yelachem at the end of the parsha of Edim Zomimim? To tell me Mishpat HaShavelekuchem? Since Ruba to Ruba of cases of Edim Zomimim are in fact dealt with by Vasitim Lo Kasher Zaman Lasot Le'achiv, so too is this unusual case dealt with in the same way without Hatra'ah. Okay. Another basis, what we learned before, was, remember, we had two fundamental cases. The case of Chovel B'Chaveiro, where we say that we have Tashlumim instead of Malkus, and we have the case of Edim Zomimim. So now we've dealt with the various faces of Edim Zomimim. Now let's go back to the din of Chovel B'Chaveiro, where we assumed over there, Ken Yinaten. Yinaten is a davar hanitan miyad liyad, which means that the onesh for Chovel B'Chaveiro is cash, davar hanitan miyad liyad. Reb Shisha b'Reid Rav Idi Omar, I have a different source for Chovel B'Chaveiro as well. Namely, Chovel B'Chaveiro, I can prove that he does not get Malkus, and instead he gets Mammon. I can prove that from the whole story of Chiyenatsu Anashim V'Nakvu Yishahara V'Yatsu Yiladea. So now, remember over there, we're talking about a case where two people are fighting. They accidentally punch a woman who's pregnant, and she loses the fetus that she was carrying. So over there it says, Im lo yeh ason, if the woman isn't killed, so then they pay. And they pay the dmei vladot, but he pays. But in the event that the woman is killed, so then v'natata nefesh tachat nefesh, right? So now let me analyze this case for you, says Reb Shisha b'Reid the Ravidi. Because Rebbe Lazar said over there, look, we're obviously talking about a case in which two people are fighting, but they are fighting to the death. In other words, they're really fighting. One is trying to kill the other. And only one guy is going to come out of this alive. So we're talking about a matsucha bimita hakatu bidaber. Obviously. Because otherwise, if the whole thing was an accident, so then why would it say, ima soni ye vinatata nefesh tachat nefesh? That in the event that the woman is killed, that then we will kill the guy who punched her. Now note that there's a number of important issues that are hiding here in the background. Namely, if I didn't intend to punch the woman, so why am I chayev even if I was trying to kill this guy? Well, that's because this approach to the pasuk is going according to the shita that holds, Hamitkaven laharog et A, v'harag et B, is chayev. So therefore, according to the Rabbanan, says Rebbe Lazar, once we can talk about a case where people are trying to kill each other, then even if someone got in the way and was killed by a stray bullet, he would be chayev for killing that person, because it was mitkaven laharog et ze, v'harag et ze. So obviously, if we're going to kill him, now let me ask you, was there hatra'ah or not? Well, echidani. If there was no hatra'ah, how could we possibly kill him? Am I miktel? We can't kill someone without hatra'ah. So obviously, pshita, that we did give him hatra'ah. What did we give him hatra'ah for? Don't do that. You may end up in chayav misa if this guy dies, right? Now, I'm assuming. Let's think about the case. The guy didn't die. I managed to just bust his head in. After a couple of weeks of therapy, He's okay. So now, am I chayef for hitting the guy? Well, I should certainly be chayef for hitting the guy, because the punishment for hitting the guy is malchus. Pentosif la'alkoto, right? So you'll say, but you never got hatra'ah. So, well, come on. The guy was matir himself for going to Bezda to be killed. So obviously he was ready to accept upon himself the onus of malchus, and he knew that this was an iser. So what's the problem? If you give somebody hatra'ah ledavar chamur, I would assume that havi mutra ledavar akal, then for sure we include in that hatra'ah for malchus. So you see from here that he should get malchus, and nonetheless, what did the Torah say? Omer Rachmana, v'lo yehason anosh yanesh. If there's no death penalty, that means that you have a chiyuv of malchus v'tashlumin. And the din is anosh yanesh. He should be paying the Dmei Flores. And it speaks that out beferish. Firishato. Matki Floravashi. It's a very nice proof, except that it's built on begging the question. You take for granted the idea that if he was mutra for the death penalty, then kosher can he's mutra for malchus. I don't know. Maybe that's not true. Maybe you have to give a person a hatra'ah that is directly the real hatra'ah for the punishment that he's going to get. I mean, otherwise you could say, look, I wasn't involved in anything. That was a chiyuv of malchus. So I didn't accept that hatra'ah. And you know what? Even if you say that someone who is mutra for something that is more chamur is mutra for something that's less chamur, would you agree that he's not mutra for something that is more chamur? Yes. So how do you know that death is more chamur? Maybe malchus is more chamur. And I'll prove it to you. People will actually give themselves over to death, and yet in torture, they will give in. Because Rav said, if they had beat Hananiah Mishov Azariah to a pulp, at one point or another, they would have given in, and they would have been Pochul et Salma. They would have worshipped that statue. So you see that a one-time stand in which you're risking your life is different than being able to stand up to torture. So then maybe the same thing is true in terms of how people view the onus of Beis Din. I'm willing to be shot, but I'm not willing to be tortured. Some say it was Reb Sama, Reb Ashi's own son, said to Reb Ashi, torture? What torture? Over there by Hananiah Mishov HaZayah, we're talking about torture. And over here, we're talking about malchus and Beis Din. What kind of comparison is there? The whole point of torture is that it doesn't have any end. That's the point. I'm going to keep torturing you until it becomes unbearable. That's all that Rav was saying. That means that someone would rather die than get beaten up? That's ridiculous. And therefore, it's not at all comparison. That doesn't make any sense. By the way, it's just an interesting side point over here. What right does Rav have to say that Hananiah Mishov HaZariah would not have stood up to torture? Why should we say such a thing? Rabbi Akiva stood up to torture. I mean, what? And he told his Talmidim on the contrary. I've been waiting for an opportunity like this to show v'yahavtas Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha. So why are we thinking that what Hananiah Mishov HaZariah can't do what Rabbi Akiva did? Why not? What a chutzpah of Rav to say such a thing. So this is one of the many places where Tosfos points out that the story of Hananiah Mishov HaZariah had nothing to do with Avodah Zarah. There was a big statue over there of the Malchus, not for Avodah Zarah. Everybody was asked to bow down as a sign of the pure acceptance of the great king. And their commitment not to was a special midah that they took on themselves in order to just point out anything that even smacks of worship, we Jews don't do. But it wasn't really Me'ikar HaDin. And therefore, we cannot say that in such a case, because Rabbi Akiva gave up his life in order to be Mekayim V'Ahavta Hashem Elokecha B'chol Levavcha, that they would have. Why should we say such a thing? The entire thing was Me'ever the Chiyuv of the Din. It was Lefnei Mishurat HaDin. Fine. Then the question is, so then how were they allowed to get themselves killed? That Tosis discusses elsewhere. But in any event, let's take a look at another problem that we have for Rav Shisha Brei Ravidi. Matkiv La Rav Yaakov in a Harpakot. This whole limud that you learned about Nefesh Tachas Nefesh, right? That's only true according to the Rabbanan who hold that a mitkaven la rogat zeh v'haragat zeh is chayav. And therefore, if someone was fighting and trying to kill the person with whom he was fighting, and a stray bullet kills this woman, that he would be chayav, and then we will actually kill the murderer. Okay, then you can bring a raya that he must have had a hatra'ah. But what about Rebbe? Rebbe holds that a mitkaven laharogat zeh v'haragat zeh is not chayav misa. And if a stray bullet kills a bystander, you would not be chayav. And what the Torah writes when it says v'natata nefesh tachat nefesh does not mean, according to Rebbe, that we will kill him. It means that we pay for the full value of the mother who was killed here by the stray bullet. We have to pay her value on the open market to her heirs. That's all that it means, according to Rebbe. So then we can't even begin discussing the question of hatra'ah. How do you prove for me that it was hatra'ah? Nothing to do with hatra'ah. Because we're not talking about an onesh here. So according to Rebbe, who says it's mamay, so my ikal amemar, you can't bring a raya from here that there was hatra'ah. So that, forget about this. It can't be that the whole mucker is based on not accepting Rebbe. I'm sorry. Therefore, Elam Rabbi Yaakov and Harpakod Mishmei Derava, I'll give you a good source. We're over there. It's not dependent on that machlokas. Look at this. Amazing, amazing halacha. Now, halacha is if somebody beats someone up and he's in bad shape, or somebody shoots someone and the guy was mortally wounded. Now, there's a chance he'll survive. He's currently in the hospital. So it says in the pasuk, Im yakum v'yitalech pachutz al mishanto, v'nika hamakeh. If the guy recovers sufficiently to walk outdoors, then we will not kill the attacker, right? We won't kill the assailant. We won't kill him. So let me ask you something. I don't understand. If the Torah hadn't told me that if the guy doesn't die, I don't kill the murderer, what murderer? Obviously, I don't kill the murderer if there isn't any murder. The body is missing. So what, you really think that this guy is walking around doing his shopping and we're going to kill the other guy for killing him? I don't need this pasuk. That's absurd. So therefore, what must it be teaching us? It must be teaching us that we have a concept of imprisonment. Put this guy, the assailant, into prison until we find out if this person gets out of the hospital alive or not. That's what it means. Malamed shechov shimoto. And in the event that the guy ends up dying in the hospital, so then we're going to cut linen late. We're going to take him to Bessel and give him Misa. But if he doesn't die, then Rakshivto Yitain Verapo Yirape. Now, let me ask you, from here, are we talking about with Hatra'ah or not? If we never gave the Hatra'ah, so why, if the guy dies in the hospital, are we going to carry out a Chiyav Misa against someone without Hatra'ah? Obviously, that's impossible. Elapshita, that we did give him Hatra'ah. Now, I will make an assumption. Now we're going to go through the same logic we went through before. I'm going to make an assumption that somebody who gets Hatra'ah for something that's Chamur, that he's going to be Chayev death, that includes within it, it subsumes a Hatra'ah for something lesser than death, namely the Malkus that I would be Chayev for attacking someone, right? So if I take that for granted, that a mutrela davar chamura is a mutrela davar kal. And yet, what does the Torah say here? Shifto yitain v'rapo yirape. This guy got hatra'ah for Malkus, and he's not getting Malkus. Instead, he's paying for Sheves and Ripui. There's Uriah. Matki for Rav Ashi, same Gemara we had before on the other Limud. Mimai de mutu ledover chamor avi mutu ledover akal dilma lo havi. Maybe it isn't true. Maybe a hatra has to be very specific for the correct punishment. And even if you tell me that it is, what makes you think that mita is more chamor? Maybe malchus is more chamor. Because as Rav said, if we had tortured Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, and we kept beating them, they would have, in fact, been mishtachave to that statue. So you see that malchus is worse than death. And here too, of course, Amar le Rav Samar b'Rav Ravashi, Ravashi, or some Samar b'Rav Ravashi himself to Ravashi. What kind of comparison is that? Obviously, torture means that there's no end in sight. Malchus Bezdin? What does Malchus Bezdin have to do with torture? It's a punishment. Who in the world would choose death over a certain number of Malchus? Nobody. So of course Misa is Chomer. That's silly. Matkiflor of Mori, I have another problem with this. You're assuming that the point over here is that somebody wanted to kill B'mezin, right? And that we put him into prison because we're going to kill him in the event that the guy dies in the hospital. But how do you know that V'nikah HaMakeh means that he's going to be putter from being killed? Maybe the case over here is that he accidentally hit somebody else as he was, let's say, so he was lifting up something and it went flying and hit somebody on the other side. A classic case of killing Bishkoga, right? So maybe that's what it means. V'nikah makeh would mean v'nikah migalut. Maybe that's all that it means. I don't know. I mean, obviously there's no hatra'ah for galut. Okay, that's a problem. I admit that that's a problem. Now, getting back to the Iker Yesod of our discussion, which was what? Let's remember how we got here. For heaven's sakes, we are so far away from where we began. We need a little bit of a review. It all starts with our Mishnah. And in our Mishnah, it says that there is a din of knas, even if somebody went ahead and raped his sister, he would still get a knas. Our problem was that in the Mishnah in Malchus, it says that if somebody goes and rapes his sister, that is chayiv Malchus. And we know that you can't be chayiv both because kidei risha to'am arachmana, kidei risha achat, v'lo kidei shtei risha ayot. So how do you explain this blatant contradiction between the Mishnah in Makot and our Mishnah here at Ketuvot? Now, so far, we've had two beautiful answers to that question. And that's how we got where we are now, discussing all of these various cases of Tashlumin and Malchus. Ula's explanation was, wherever there is Tashlumin, there's no Malchus. And therefore, in order to answer why the Mishnah in Masechet Makot says there is Malchus, we have to postulate a case where there is no tashlumin. What would that be? Turns out that the only case that it was talking about was where it wasn't really rape, it was seduction, and it's talking about a yetomah, so there's no father, and therefore there is no tashlumin of mamon at all because it was a consensual relationship, and that's why you get malchus, because it's also your sister with whom you had a consensual relationship, and that's a different problem. But that has nothing to do with Tashlumin. In that case, there is no Tashlumin. That was Ula's response. Rabbi Yochanan's response was just the opposite. Wherever there is both, there's only Malchus. Therefore, we have to figure out why our Mishnah says that there is Tashlumin of Knas. What's the explanation? Must be that this is a case where there is no Malchus, because otherwise there wouldn't be Tashlumin. Why would there not be Malchus? He didn't get Atra'ah. Very simple. So Rabbi Yochanan's distinction between the two Mishnayos, in Masechet Makot, we were talking about yes Atra'ah, and therefore he had Malchus and no Tashlumin. In our Mishnah Ketuvot, we were talking about no Atra'ah, and therefore no Malchus, and therefore yes Tashlumin. Very simple. All of the other issues that we've been talking about have been tangential to that first Machlokes, about what is the fundamental principle where you have both Makis and Tashlumin. That was the whole Machlokas. Reish Lakish says, I have a simple answer to the whole question that does not even involve us in making that determination. Basically, what I say is that the one who is the Tana of our Mishnah, which says that there is a knas for raping a sister, is simply going according to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir holds that loke umishalem. This is the famous Rabbi Meir, which, of course, is exactly the Rabbi Meir who points out that Edim Zaymimim, who will talk about a chiyav of tashlumin for someone, and therefore kasher zamam is mechayev them for lying about the payment that this supposed, this ostensible individual owed, they're going to have to pay. But there's a separate pasuk that they were over, which is lota nebereachayit shakem. And that is a lav, midiraisa, which is chayiv malchus. Rabbi Meir's fundamental principle is lo hashem ha-mevi'am l'dei malkot, mevi'am l'dei tashlumim. Since we have two completely unrelated issues over here, one of them is the lav in the luchais, loisa nebereachayit shakem, and the other is this new din of asitem lo kasher zamam lasot l'achiv. What does one have to do with the other? And therefore, one is Mechayev Yumalkas, or one is Mechayev Tashlumin. Well, by the same token, says Reish Lakish, that's exactly what the case is over here. Because one Mimalkas is coming because of Ervat Achotcha, Lo Tegaleh. What the heck does that have to do with Venatana Isha Shochevima La'avia Na'ara Chamishim Shekel? The two totally different issues. One is a din about raping anybody. The other one is a specific din about sleeping with a sister. Put the two together and you get raping a sister. But the chiyuvim are completely different chiyuvim. Therefore, by the same token of lo hashema mevi'ali day X, mevi'ali day Y, we would say the same thing over here. Lo hashema mevi'ali day Malkos, namely ervat achotcha, mevi'ali day tashlumim, namely v'natana isha shochevima. If we learn, therefore, that the mission is going, I'll leave it to Rabbi Meir, the question doesn't begin. Our Mishnah didn't say you don't get Malkus. Our Mishnah was talking about what you pay. Why do you assume that that means you don't get Malkus? Because Kedei Rishato, but you forget Rabbi Meir. And our Mishnah, very simply, is going according to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir holds Lokum Mishalim, so everything is great. Says the Gemara, yeah, but there's a problem. Because, I mean, if Rabbi Meir says that, then he should say the same thing about raping your own daughter. And yet the Mishnah holds that raping a daughter is actually potter, because it come lay bit of rabbim, and we're going to get there this week, that Mishnah. But if it's going, I'll leave it to Rabbi Meir, who holds this concept of lo hashem, maybe only day X, maybe only day Y, that should be true even about misa v'tashlumin. Which would mean that in this case, Rabbi Meir would hold that there's no din of kamlei b'rabimine b'chlal. So if that's true, why are you saying a Mishnah, what, is half like Rabbi Meir and half not like Rabbi Meir? I don't believe that. Now, I know what you're going to try to tell me. You're going to try to tell me, well, Rabbi Meir only said that idea of lo hashem ha-mevi'oh was talking about malkas v'tashlumin, but he never would have said misa v'tashlumin. Is that so? I'll prove to you that Rabbi Meir actually would say exactly the same thing about even a case of misa v'tashlumin, because we know that there's a braita that says that in the event that somebody would steal a shor or se, so what's the din over there? Is tvacho mecharo. So if he shechs it or if he sells it, so the din is he has to pay 4 se or 5 shvarim, right? That's called arba'a v'chamisha. Suppose he goes ahead and he shechts it on Shabbos. Or suppose he goes ahead and he shechts it to an Aveda Zara. Or suppose it was a Shor HaNiskal, which does not have any value. Put that to the side for a moment, because it's not the same issue that concerns us. Over there, Rabbi Meir says he would still pay Arba Ava Chamisha, whereas the Chachomim say, of course he wouldn't. He was Chayiv Misa. He was Chayiv Misa for shechting to Aveda Zara. He was chayav misa for shechting on Shabbos. So you see that Aliba to Rebbe Meir, even where there's a chayav misa, there still is a chayav of tashlumin. And therefore, you, Reish Lakish, who claim that our Mishnah is going Aliba to Rebbe Meir, and that's why it says that over here there's tashlumin for raping your sister, it can't be true, because then it would also have held that raping your daughter would be exactly the same. So this effectively discards Reish Lakish, brings us back to the explanations of Ula and Rabbi Yochanan. Says Gemara, no, not necessarily. Because we know that Amr Rabbi Yaakov, Amr Rabbi Yochanan, some say Amr Rabbi Yirmiyah, Amr Reish Lakish, Rabbi Aviv, Rabbi Ilah, and the whole Chavrusa quote Rabbi Yochanan. But whoever said it, let me tell you, the Braita has nothing to do with Kamlei Bidu Rabbi Minei. Because let me ask you something, my friend. In the event that you don't know how to shecht, and you bring it to a sheikhet, and you say, shecht this shor, so you get it shechted, do you still pay for tvichu mechira? Absolutely, you do. And therefore, if that would be the case, if we're talking over here, where you were toveach hayidei acher, the other person, he's the one who was mechalel Shabbos, you weren't mechalel Shabbos, so there's no kamlei b'derabim mineh. That's the case. And therefore, Rabbi Meir was saying that you'd be chayiv, but ein achinami. If you would be chayiv misa for chilul Shabbos, or you would be chayiv misa for shechting for avodah zarah, then you would not be chayiv for arba avachamisha. What? Says the Gemara. What do you mean you brought it to a sheichet? You can't have a shliach lidvar avera. How can you give it to somebody to do? He is the one who is over the avera of the tvicha. And now you're the one that's going to have to pay. This makes sense? That's only if you can make a shliach, but we have a halacha that ain't shliach l'dvar avera. So how can the braita be talking about that you did it with somebody else if you're the one who's going to be paying? Amar Rava, you're forgetting a very important din. Normally, you're absolutely correct that ain't shliach l'dvar avera. But in this case of tvicha u'mechira, the Torah specifically includes a shliach l'dvar avera. How do I know? From the very fact that it says utvacho o micharo. I'd love you to come up with a case where you could sell this animal without having somebody buying the animal. Go ahead. So, if you're talking about selling, then you can only sell because somebody did the buying. So then that means that the Torah is being mechayev you despite the fact that the other person did the purchase. So then the same thing would be true over here. Just like mechira is ayidei acher, aftvicha ayidei acher. So the Torah specifically including a shliach l'dvar avera. Devei Reb Yishmol says, there's another basis for the dvar avera here. Namely, why does it say tvacho o micharo? If it would have said tvacho u micharo, remember that u always means and or. And therefore, I don't need O, unless O is coming to tell me an additional or another case intimated. What would the intimated case be? Where somebody else did the tvicha. So therefore, it's coming to tell me, yesh liach l'dvar avera. Devei Chizkia says, there's another basis. The other basis says, chamisha bakar yishalem tachat ashor. Why have they tachat ashor? Bishor. So therefore, the tachat includes somebody taking your place as well. Says Marzut, wait, now we just hold on a second. Even if there is a shliach l'dvar avera, but a shliach can only do what you can do. But over here, the shliach is now going to be doing something that you couldn't do. Is there such a thing where if you did it yourself, you wouldn't be chayav? But now the shliach who does it, he's even more able to be you than you are yourself. That doesn't make sense, says the Gemara. What are you talking about? The only reason that when you do it, you're not chayev is not because you're really not chayev. Of course you're chayev. It's because you come like bit of rabbi minei. So iu lavishim dolom b'chayev, it's just that the chayev is subsumed in a greater chayev. That's all for the chilul Shabbos. That's a silly objection. Okay. All right, but I have another objection. If we're talking about that somebody else did the tvicha, right? So then it makes so much sense that nobody would argue. Why would the Rabbanan say that you're potter? Why would they argue with Rabbi Meir? That has nothing to do with the machlokas of Rabbi Meir Rabbanan about lo Hashem ha-mevi yolidei malkas mevi yolidei tashlumin at all. So what does it have to do with anything? The Rabbanan would agree that obviously, if you're not chayev misa for chilul Shabbos, so you should be chayev for tashlumin. Aha, that's because you don't know who the Rabbanan are. You know who the Rabbanan are? The Rabbanan are Rabbi Shimon. And Rabbi Shimon of the Shechita Sheinu Ru'uya is not considered to be a Shechita. So therefore, if you shecht it to Avodah Zorah, that's not a kosher Shechita that allows you to eat, so forget it. It doesn't accomplish anything. Next, you shecht to the Shor HaNiskal. That's not going to allow you to eat the Shor. It's Aser Ba'anah. So therefore, you're Pater, according to the Rabbanan, because you never did a Shechita. That's the point. Oh, you tried to slip something on me over there. Yes, you're right about Avodah Zorah and Shor HaNiskal, but you didn't explain the Shechita B'Shabbos now, did you? Because according to Rabbi Shimon, what are you saying? Well, if you shecht it on Shabbos, of course it's not a kosher Shechita. Oh, hold on a second. I seem to recall a little Mishnah in the Masechet Chulin that doesn't say that. It's all very nice, but Shechita Shabbos is Shechita Ru'uya. It's not in the Mishnah Chulin says, HaShochet B'Shabbat V'Yom HaKippurim, Shechitato is kosher. So what good does it do you to figure that the Rabbanan is really Rabbi Shimon Ol Shechita Shein Ruya, Lav Shma Shechita? It's not going to help you out when it comes to Shabbos. Ah, that is a different issue. Apparently, the Tana of the Braita is Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler. If he holds like Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler, according to Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler, then if you did Shechita B'Shabbos, it would in fact be Otzer B'Achila. And therefore, if you also hold of Rabbi Shimon, then it would be a Shechita She'ena Ru'uya. And that would explain why we are saying that a Shechita, even though it's done by somebody else, it has nothing to do with Komlei B'Rabbi Minei. It has to do with the Shaila of whether it is a Shechita or is not a Shechita. That's all. And therefore, I could still go back, still say what Reish Lakish said, and still hold that it's going Alibet Rabbi Meir, and that in the event that we were talking about a Chiyav Misa, that indeed Rabbi Meir would say that there's Komlei Ben Rabbi Minei, and therefore someone who rapes his daughter will be Potter from Knas, but someone who rapes his sister will be Chayav, and all is okay. Lovely. Now, in order to get into the machlokas of Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler and what it involves, and that's a major, major piece of discussion, which brings us into another beautiful tangential issue of chiyuvim and tashlumim, so fundamental to our mesechet in terms of the protection of a woman in light of other issues that may prevent her from getting compensation, and therefore we need to go through what those problems might be. But for that, we will wait until we get the presence of our own Capitan, who has been busy making Avdolah. See you all then, Bezrat Hashem. May we continue to hear Psurot Tovot.